Welcome in to our Live at 5 sermon series. My name is Justin Reed, and I am honored every single day to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located, the building is anyways, church people, but we're located at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off of US 70. We'll be there on the left. If you're coming from 70, you would be our honored guest at every and all worship services, anything that we have going on. We would love for you to come visit with us. This is Live at 5, and so according to the title, here it's almost about a minute and a half away from 5 o'clock. So we are just getting ready. I am sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ, simply titling it Live at 5. I try to type and talk at the same time. Sometimes it works well for me. Sometimes it does not. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be opening God's Word. We're going to be looking at a passage, actually, really three main sections of the Old Testament tonight. I want us to talk about King Hezekiah, the great things that happened in his life, and maybe some things that he could have done just a little bit better. Before we officially begin, once it is officially 5 o'clock, I do hope that you're having a good day. I hope that you're being faithful to the Lord. I hope that you're praying. I hope that you're praying for this country, and I hope that you're praying for those that are sick. And I'm reminded on a daily basis there are more sicknesses than just this awful virus going around, because people are still going to the hospital. People are still getting just general sicknesses. So please lift up those that are ill, those that are not feeling well, to God. Because if you don't believe it, let's sit down sometime. I'd love to illustrate to you just truly how there is power in prayer. Well, according to my clock, we've got 5 o'clock up and down. Well, up and not straight. 5's kind of a little over. Anyways, let us begin our Live at 5 sermon series. So tonight, we're going to talk about Hezekiah, and we're going to begin from reading Hezekiah. We're actually going to be reading the story in Isaiah 38 in the first 8 verses. Join with me here. The Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, then shalt not live. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, with a perfect heart, and done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Syria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." That kind of sets our scene as we study Hezekiah. Now, a lot of times at Bible camp, VBSs and whatnot, when I'm with a group of people, usually younger people, but sometimes I'll do it on the older crowd just to see if they're paying attention, I'll say, the first person would please turn to the book of Hezekiah, chapter 3, and read verse 5. And you'll have some people that will frantically be turning. Friends, Hezekiah is a king. Hezekiah is not a book, although with a name like Hezekiah, it sounds like it ought to be a book. But nonetheless, what we see is Hezekiah is one of the few good kings of the nation of Israel. Now, it's first told to us in the second book of Kings, chapters 18 through 20. In the second Chronicles, which is a chronological telling, it's in the second volume of that, chapters 29 through 32, and it's also told from the perspective of the prophet that he dealt with, Isaiah, in chapters 36 through 39. And we'll kind of be bouncing back and forth between these three passages here tonight so we can better understand some lessons from his life. From 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 1, the Bible tells us he's 25 years old when he starts. He has a reign of 29 years. What I find interesting that helps me study is when I realize that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and Micah were all prophets during his almost 30-year reign. So when I read the things in Isaiah, at least in those few chapters, and the chapters of Jeremiah, and the parts of Hosea and Micah, that helps me understand, well, what was the nation of Israel? What were God's people? What were they going through during this time? One of the good things that Hezekiah did was Hezekiah tore down idols, 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. And he did right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, how we yearn for that to be said of you and of me. What I want us to do tonight is we will look at mainly these three passages in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah. And I want us to learn three great lessons from the life of Hezekiah. Three great lessons from the life of this moderately good Old Testament king. Does that sound good? We got the premise out of the way. Join with me then. Lesson number one is a lesson of restoration. A lesson of restoration. We're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles 29, but restoration, root word there is restore, to bring something back to its former stage. You know, when somebody comes forward, when a Christian comes forward and they ask for forgiveness of sins and they're prayed over and they're prayed with and a great joyous moment occurs, we say they have been restored because they were in a right relationship with God and then sin entered, and sin, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, always separates between man and God. But then when we have those sins removed, we are restored, brought back into that good relationship again. Join with me in 2 Chronicles 29. We'll begin in verse number 3. He, who's he? Go back to verse 1, Hezekiah. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and gathered them together in the east street, and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God and of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. See, the problem is you have all these bad kings, and okay, kings, but mainly bad kings coming through, and they just kept taking the people further and further, a step or two or five away from God every time they do this. Well, the first thing he does, or one of the first things he does, in the first month of his reign, is he opens up the doors of the house of God. He brings the priests and the Levites. Now, the priests were of the tribe of Levi, yes, but you had to be of the family of Aaron to be a priest, but you could just be a Levite and serve other roles. And so he says, you need to get this filthiness out. You need to be sanctified. You need to be set apart so you can serve the Lord. Verses 18 and 19 as well, please. Then they went into Hezekiah the king, and they said, We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of burnt offering, with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table, and all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared, we have sanctified, and behold, they're now before the altar of the Lord. Ahab, of course, we're familiar with all the wicked things that all these other kings did, but they made it where the people really couldn't worship God. Hezekiah makes it where they can. Verses 28 and 29 as well. And all, watch it, all, that's all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeter sounded, and all this continued till the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made the end of an offering, the king and all that were present with him, they bowed themselves and they worshipped. Oh, how God must have been pleased to have his people worshiping him again. So the first thing he does right out of the bat, Hezekiah that is, he restores worship, and then he restores an observance of the Passover. Go with me to the 30th chapter in the first three verses. Hezekiah sent all Israel and Judah, wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh as well, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel in his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. You may well remember the Passover. We talked about it a lot in depth a couple of months ago on Wednesday night, and that's in one of our lessons if you want to go back on this page and find it there in Exodus chapter 12. But they were supposed to remember the Passover on a yearly observance. But we see that many times God's people either forgot or they were commanded not to. Verses 13 through 16, "And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread," also another word for Passover, "in the second month." It was a very great congregation. "And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and the altars for incense took they away, and they cast them into the brook Kidron. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. The priest, the Levites, were ashamed, brought themselves and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. They stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priest sprinkled the blood which they received from the hand of the Levites." So we see he restores worship. He restores that yearly remembrance of the great exodus from Egypt. And the question becomes, how did they know? How did he know what to restore it to? How did he know where they were? And how did he know that they had fallen away? What did they do it by? "According to the law of Moses, the man of God." See, they had the Word of God this whole time. But predecessors to Hezekiah had either ignorantly ignored it or on purpose. They just act like it didn't even matter. But friends, Hezekiah's going through there and he's reading, "We're not worshiping. Oh, well, God's Word says we need to worship, so we better worship. Oh, well, we're not taking the Passover. Wait. God's Word says take the Passover. We got to do this. You've got to sacrifice that." Well, we're not, but God's Word says we must, friends. So Hezekiah goes to the Word of God. Question: can we have restoration today? Certainly. How? We go to the Word of God. Luke 8:11, "The sower that sows the seed is the Word of God." But quickly go with me. Maybe we just want to hold your place in the Old Testament because we will be coming back. But 1 Peter 1:22-23. "Seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth forever and abideth forever." See, Hezekiah was reading through God's Word, and Hezekiah realized that they weren't doing certain things that they should have been doing. So Hezekiah doesn't say, "Well, I think." Hezekiah says, "God says we're not doing this, and God says we ought to be doing this." Friends, we should be in the same boat today if we're not doing what God has said. Friends, if you're attending a worship service, if you're attending a so-called church, and you happen to be watching this, glad that you're here. But if the place that you attend of worship, if they don't do everything that the New Testament says, you need to find a place that does, and I'd love to help you do that, because that's what we strive to do at Wood. And I know a lot of other faithful places, that's all they strive to do. It's not man's ideas. We go off of what God's Word has said, a period of restoration. There was the great restoration movement, trying to get God's people back to God's Word. That's a great lesson that we could learn from Hezekiah. Number two, though, this evening, another great lesson is a lesson of prayer. Actually, two lessons of prayer. The first one is found in 2 Kings chapter 18, and we'll begin in verse 13. 2 Kings 18 and verse number 13, we're going to talk about the armies of Assyria. Now, what we learn, 18 and 13. "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them." Now remember, if you know where this is going, 14 years in, the next second lesson prayer I'm going to tell you is about that great one that we studied about in our scripture reading tonight. But in the 14th year of his 29-year reign, of course he didn't know it was 29 years, but we know that now, Sennacherib, the Assyrians, they come up against him. And notice, Hezekiah sends in tribute money. "Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, the king of Judah, had overlaid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. So he sends tribute money. He says, I need 300 talents of silver and 30 of gold. Now, if you remember the parable of the talents, well, we start learning that one talent alone is very valuable. That two-talent man got twice as much. That five-talent man was given a lot of money. Well, here, he gets 300 talents. That's a measurement of weight, a monetary unit almost, if you will, 300 of silver, 30 of gold. So Hezekiah sends his tribute money. Nevertheless, Sennacherib, after he gets all this silver, after he gets all this gold, he goes ahead and fortifies the cities against Jerusalem anyways, because he wanted people to stop trusting in the Lord. He wanted Hezekiah, who he claimed was working with God, working for God, to go ahead and send all this money anyways, and then just, he was trying to show just how pointless he thought God's people were. But notice this in 2 Kings 19, because Hezekiah wouldn't do. He was just not having it. It came to pass that when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, went into the house of the Lord. That's a sign of repentance. He said to Eliakim, which is over the household, and Shebna the scribe, the elders of the priests, they were covered in sackcloth. He goes to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and they said unto him, thus said Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to approach the living God. He will approve the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of Israel, or servants of King Hezekiah, came to Isaiah. Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus says the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon them. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tyrconnah, the king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers unto Hezekiah. We'll pause there because I actually read two verses to me, but that's okay. Verses 14 through 19, the story continues. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and he spread it, watch it, before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwell between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Hezekiah knew this wouldn't do, so Hezekiah prays to the Lord. Verse 35, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out, smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 when they arose early in the morning. Behold, they were all dead corpses. God delivered Sennacherib into the hand of Hezekiah by killing 185,000 people in one night. Hezekiah knew something was wrong. Hezekiah knew this should not be allowed to pass. So Hezekiah prays. That's the first lesson of prayer. The second one is when he's sick. And I've got there between the asterisks, it's the famous story. When you think of Hezekiah, somebody mentioned it in a Bible class, I go to this story, and we find this here in chapter 20, the first seven verses. Now, we read Isaiah's account. Let's read the account from 2 Kings. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, come to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, not live. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee out of the city, out of the hand of a king of Assyria. I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took it, laid it on the bull, and he recovered. I like the account here in 2 Kings, because it tells me how far away Isaiah had gotten. It also tells me he had some kind of a bull that was affecting him as well. Well, we don't get that from Isaiah's account. But Hezekiah is sick. He's near death. Isaiah, can you imagine how this would feel from Isaiah, or on Isaiah's part, to go before the king who you've dealt with before, and the message from God is that you're going to die? Hezekiah immediately, now he didn't wait. He turns, puts his face to the wall, and he prays to the Lord for strength. He prays to strength. That's what he asked for. He's restored unto health. Friends, prayer can change things. We're familiar with that passage in James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for another that you may be healed. The effects of a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then James goes to use Elijah and how he prayed to God that it didn't rain. And for the space of 3.5 years, it did not rain upon the face of the earth. Friends, prayer can change things. So go with me very quickly. Keep your place in the Old Testament once again. But let's quickly add into our study tonight, 1 John 3 and verse number 22. 1 John 3:22. Watch this. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, Hezekiah received what he'd asked of God, because he was doing what God had commanded him to do. We learn from the story of Hezekiah that prayer is powerful and prayer can change many a things. Now, ultimately, God's the one that does it, but we're told to pray for those things we need. We learn the lesson of prayer from Hezekiah. Our last lesson here that we're going to learn from the life of Hezekiah tonight is the lesson of pride. Because Hezekiah, he displayed a measure of pride. I'm just going to put all these up here because that way I don't have to keep clicking. Go with me now to Isaiah, because we, besides our initial reading, haven't spent much time in Isaiah, although Hezekiah's story's in there. So, Isaiah 39, 1 and 2, because after Sennacherib left, he begins to tell these stories, and Hezekiah is showing off some of his wealth. Watch this. Isaiah 39, 1 and 2. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, fitting, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard he had been sick and that he had been recovered. Hezekiah was glad of them, showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the precious ointment, and the house of all his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. See, now there's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the possessions that you have. In fact, I've got some collections of some neat things. If somebody asked me about them, I'd be more than happy to show you about them, tell you how I acquired them, what the case may be. But Hezekiah is showing it off. He's showing everything he's got. he is showing off all of his wealth. And so Isaiah is going to tell Hezekiah that Babylon's going to take everything away because of this. Picking up the story, we'll actually read the rest of the 39th chapter of Isaiah. Then came Isaiah the prophet to King Hezekiah and said, "What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee?" Hezekiah said, "They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon." Then said he, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All that is in mine house they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, that which thy fathers have laid up in store to this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. All of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall all be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." For he said, "Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." Because Isaiah was boasting, if you will, was prideful of the possessions that he had, they would all be taken away. And then all the sons that he would have, yes, he would have sons, but they would all become eunuchs, which, just simply putting it here, they're not able to reproduce. And so his family lineage would cease, at least in that regard. Go with me there to Proverbs 16 and 18. And I feel that you are familiar with this passage, but Proverbs 16 and 18, because, friends, we've got to be careful of pride. We must be careful of pride. And according to Proverbs 16 and 18, we can learn that Hezekiah is a great object lesson. He is putting into practice here where the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. See, Hezekiah has just come off of this great victory where God has really done the winning, where God has killed the 185,000 in one night. And he has received gifts because he was sick and now he is whole and all these great things. And there's nothing wrong with having things once again, but he's been showing it off. He's let his possessions take place of what God has actually done in his life. And so a haughty spirit goes, or pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit for a fall. Then lastly, there Romans 12 and verse 3. We mentioned it this morning in our lesson. It's fitting here tonight as well. "For I say, through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So from Hezekiah we learn the lesson of pride. We should not be destroyed by our pride. Three great lessons we have found from Hezekiah in all three of the passages that he's found in the Old Testament. The idea of restoration, how he brought back worship of God, how he brought back the Passover, and he did it because he had the Word of God, and he used that as his guide. We learned the lesson of prayer when he was going against the armies of Assyria, and also sickness and in health for himself, and then we learned the destroying attitude, the destroying lesson of pride as well. Friends, if we could learn these lessons today, we could be pleasing to God. If you're not living a righteous life, friends, you need to be restored unto the Lord. You need to pray, and you don't need to be too prideful. Because the same thing that the wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16, the same thing that Paul wrote in Romans 12, are still applicable unto us today. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. If you'd like a copy of these notes, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. You can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible, R-E-E-D. Click on the Bible Resources page. These are found in the sermon section. They're alphabetical, so you'll go for H for Hezekiah. Very quickly, some interesting studies. Hope you can be a part of this week. We will continue our midweek Bible study, 6:30. Central Daylight Time, that says CST. 6:30. here Central Time. We will be on Facebook Live continuing our study of God's Word. Also Thursday night, we will reconvene this week with our study of the book of Matthew with Bill Boyd. That will happen at 6:30 on Thursday night. We're in Matthew 22. We always enjoy that study, so hope you can be involved in that with us. And then Sunday morning, I'll go ahead and look forward to that time. It'll be the third Sunday of the month, Lord willing, if we're still here. Brother Billy Henson will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour, and we always look forward to having him come and speak and visiting with Sister Patsy as well. So we would be our honored guest if you can join us for any of our upcoming studies. Would you please share this video, because it's three simple lessons from Hezekiah, yet three that are very beneficial for us to learn today as well. Once again, I do appreciate your attention in this lesson. I'll end this lesson the same way we finished every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you for watching.